The Avengers Follow the White Rabbit is a podcast dedicated to practical politics. Practical politics is, of course, called practical politics because it is all non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is always rule-based politics. Every 2 years, every 4 years, it's basically what you do at the voting booth. And then there is full-spectrum practical politics, or engaging and taking down an opponent by any means necessary, using the rules but never breaking the rules. But to do anything, we have to start with practical politics, and in this case, it's the art of staying on message. It's having a consistent message. And our consistent message is a mantra, or white rabbit genocide, you see on this front page. And we will also, in this podcast, engage in the geopolitical. We will talk about geopolitical events. We will talk about things from a unique white rabbit perspective. We will also go into white rabbit psychology and ecology and talk about everything you'd want to know about the indigenous white rabbits of Europe. And this is, again, the Horus the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. Everybody says there is a race problem. Everybody says this race problem will be solved when the third world pours into every white country and only into white countries. The Netherlands and Belgium are more crowded than Japan or Taiwan, but no one says Japan or Taiwan will solve this race problem by bringing in millions of third worlders and quote-unquote unsimulating with them. Everybody says the final solution to this race problem is for every white country and only white countries to assimilate, i.e. intermarry with all these non-whites. What if I said there was a race problem, and this race problem will be solved only if hundreds of millions of non-blacks were brought into every black country and only into black countries? How long would it take for anyone to realize, I'm not talking about a race problem, I'm talking about the final solution to the black problem? And how long would it take for any sane black man to notice this, and what type of psycho black man wouldn't object to this? But if I tell the obvious truth about the ongoing program of genocide against my race, the white race, liberals and respectable conservatives agree that I'm a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. They say they are anti-racist, but what they are is anti-white. And anti-racist is just a code word for anti-white. This is the mantra. And the mantra is the byproduct of old Bob Whitaker over at Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. It's called Bugs. If you go to the link on my front page, you're going to see a link to Whitaker online. .org blog. You can hit that and go right to Bugs. You're going to see a little B at the top, and it's B-U-G-S, and that's acronym for Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar, and you're going to see Fighting White Genocide. And if you hit the mantra, you're going to get exactly what I just quoted for you, and what many of you already know about. Some of you are listening to this because you saw that online somewhere. It is all over the place right now. But the creator is old Bob Whitaker, as I call him, or I call him old Bob. And on this Follow the White Rabbit, we're going to do something unique. I'm going to go, because one of our European, an actual white rabbit over in Europe named Adelheim, he put up several of Bob's stellar moments on Stormfront. Old Bob used to sit on Stormfront for several years as he was refining the mantra and getting ready to go, or as he was going, prime time, as we say here. And he was sitting on Stormfront, And many of you know him from Stormfront. You just maybe didn't realize what was going on or what the mantra was. He doesn't promote himself at all, which is typical in his line of work, but we do that for him. Because promoting the mantra inadvertently promotes him and vice versa. But anyways, and it also helps save our race, which is more important. Fighting White Rabbit Genocide on this podcast, that's what we're all about. But he basically dug out all his statements. You'd have an anti-white on Stormfront say something, and then Bob would give a retort. Bob would get a pro-white retort, and then he would quote the mantra time and time again. I basically just copied and pasted in there. And many of we've done this online now for several years. For a handful of years this has been done online by a small group associated with Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. And it's been done, for at least 2, 3, 4, 5 years prior, especially 2 to 3 years it started speeding up into, 2009 is when you first heard this podcast. And whiterabbitradio.net is, as of September, the website is, the domain name. We've had that for a year. And of course, in early 2009, May to July, this podcast started coming out on different computers. Someone would have a computer at home. They would hook it up at the internet and put up a website, and put up several podcasts online. But the first 24, which were critical, were not done until late in December. So this podcast is relatively new. White Rabbit Genocide is relatively new. The mantra has been around a while. There's been a whole groundwork laid for it. But what we're going to do in this one is I'm going to do several different, old Bob the Stormfront. And I'm going to do several of his classic one-liners on Stormfront, basically. And you can use them anywhere. You can copy and paste them, or you can use them in public. And there's several of these. He's done Edelheim, The Mantra in Action, Question and Answers. And you can see these. You can actually copy and paste these, because I'm going to put them up on my Twitter. So you'll be able to see these links and go to it on my Twitter and copy and paste it. And we're going to go through this, and I'm going to do several different mantra and actions, question and answers. And there are several of these that Edelheim has put up on Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. And these are pulled out from over the course of X many years on Stormfront, stormfront.org. And these are actually all old Bob's responses to particular pro-white genocide questions, anti-whites as we call them. Anti-white rabbits. And we're going to go through this, and some of them are quite humorous. It's a different approach. I want to give you exposure to a slightly different approach than maybe I would use. There's nothing wrong with having a slightly different approach, as long as you make your point and get to the mantra. And then I'm going to talk about the importance of a consistent message from maybe a slightly different angle. And before I do this, let me go into a consistent message. A consistent message crystallizes everything you have. It puts people on board that wouldn't normally be on board. It gets certain groups of elites that you may need off a fence, deciding your way is a better way than someone else's. And a consistent message is critical to bringing down a closed society. A closed society in a modern sense is a society that believes it owns the truth. Classic closed society was the Soviet Union. They said they owned the truth when it comes to scientific materialism, and if you didn't believe that truth, they'd send you to the gulag. And they, of course, had to have guards at the prison wall. Had to have guns and were at every post trying to get, making sure that none of their white rabbits ever got out of the Soviet Union. How many times if you watch these old television shows where someone escaped the Soviet Union, they had to escape. It's kind of funny. It's a gulag type system, but there's a contradiction there. There's internal contradiction when you have a country that's supposedly so wonderful, like scientific materialism or the Soviet Union, but yet at the same time, they have to have guards to keep people in. And of course, this came down, the epicenter of the closed society of the Soviet Union coming down was the Berlin Wall. And no closed society has ever been brought down through violence. They're brought down through sound. It's a funny thing. They are geared to handle a great deal of violence. They're geared to handle nuclear war and survive. Seriously. The United States of America now is a closed society. They own the truth in regards to race. But there's a certain contradiction again in all closed societies. This race problem only exists in white children's homes, white children's schools, white children's churches, and only exists according to white leaders in white countries. No one else really has any power to enforce it. It's a political correct system. It has several tenets from communism. In fact, it's virtually identical. Many of the conservatives call it social Marxism. And it is a mixed bag, but by and large, it is white rabbit genocide. But what Bob is an expert in, what he learned, the way they brought down the Berlin Wall and several different parties, the reason he would have been hired by groups like maybe the CIA, well, it's a known fact that he worked for the CIA, so it's not maybe, he was hired by the CIA, when now he has a blog and has for several years written articles, and he won't hesitate to use the word nigger. I don't know at any time any of my listeners could ever read a blog with someone using the word nigger that worked for the CIA. It's been a long time. It was probably back when the OSS. But anyways, that gives you an example. He has an opinion. He wears his opinion on his sleeve, but he's very valuable. And what they would do in the Soviet Union, if you've seen any of old Bob's tapes or know anything about the Berlin Wall coming down, they were pointing out the internal contradictions time and time again. And the contradictions were that, you know, to get out of a communist country, you pretty much have to escape. They have guards keeping people in. If the system is so wonderful, and there were actually plenty of liberals, there still are, plenty of these stupid animals that think some type of Soviet Union system is a wonderful system. If the system's so wonderful, why do they have to have guns and guards at the border to keep people in? I mean, a wonderful system shouldn't have a problem keeping people in. And they would point out these contradictions time and time again. Now, they never did this around non-white rabbits per se. It was mostly done in America, mostly done in Europe. It was done in a handful of different places. They did, the anti-commie forces operated all over the world. But by and large, this consistent message that they developed was basically pointing out the contradiction time and time again. And what he's doing again with the mantra is pointing out an internal contradiction. It's only white children that are affected by this. It's only white countries doing this. It's only white leaders supporting this. It's genocide. This goes a little bit further because this is you're alleging that a genocide has taken place. And I went into great detail about the rules for genocide. Most of my listeners would assume that genocide means war crime because that's historically how you've seen it. That's historically how the charges are brought, the tribunals. Yeah, there's no trial. There's no trial at a tribunal. It's a tribunal you get together with a handful of judges and they hit a gavel. It's like what the Nazis faced at Nuremberg. It's what Saddam Hussein faced. And I've never seen a fair tribunal. You're much more likely to have a fair trial than a tribunal, but genocide is nasty, nasty stuff under international law. And what he's alleging is a genocide. And it happens right in front of our face. It's very easy to prove. It is so easy to prove. Most people have to get their arms around it first. But genocide need not be a war crime. Genocide can also be a series of human rights violations. And genocide is a ruthless allegation, because if something happens, if Saddam Hussein gets hit with a genocide charge against the Kurds, which he did get hit with, it's a hanging. It's a hanging. It's a guaranteed hanging. Does that mean Saddam Hussein needs to wipe out the Kurds? No. No, it just means he needs an ethnic cleansing charge here or there, because if you have an ethnic cleansing charge, typically you might as well have killed every one of them. These laws are ruthless, ruthless stuff. But let me go over genocide with you real quickly. Of course, you can hit your Wikipedia up and get out the definition of genocide, but the definition is by and large broad under international law under Article 2. And it goes back to, I believe it's 1948. And it applies to pretty much everyone on the planet. It may not apply to Saddam Hussein in the 80s, but as soon as Saddam Hussein's on the rope, it applied to him. That's at least what you saw right in front of your face. But Article 2 of the Convention of Genocide: any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnic, or racial a religious group. Genotype comes from, genocide comes from the word genotype, and that's what you're talking about when regards to racial. But you can't really target a group, and group is defined under international laws, national, like you couldn't target, let's say the Germans, ethnic, you couldn't target Africans in America for extinction, racial, you couldn't target a particular genotype, it's where you get the word genocide, or a religious group. And that would be like the Jews, you couldn't target them for genocide under international law. And as defined as killing members of the group. B, causing serious bodily or mentally harm to members of the group. C, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction whole or in part. D, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group. Forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. It is a very broad definition and extremely ruthless. Article 3 defines the crimes that can be punished under the convention. In other words, what does this include? Well, genocide, outright genocide, conspiracy to commit genocide, direct and public incitement to commit genocide, attempt to commit genocide, complicity in genocide. It is very, very broad stuff. And the real key is to get someone down. Once you get Saddam Hussein down, he's done. Because you ain't getting up under these laws. You know, once you get a Nazi in Nuremberg, you're not walking away. It's not the way it works. What's interesting under the Wikipedia is they use the Lemkin, and Lemkin is kind of a famous individual. That's L-E-M-K-I-N. You can look Lemkin up, and he's a famous individual for writing about genocide and he makes it even broader. And let me read this to you. Generally speaking, genocide does not necessarily mean the immediate destruction of a nation, except when accomplished by mass killings of all members of the nation. It is intended rather to signify a coordinated plan of different actions aiming at the destruction of essential foundations of the life of national groups with the aim of annihilating the groups themselves. The objective of such a plan would be the disintegration of political and social institutions, of cultural, language, national feelings, religion, and economic existence of national groups, and the destruction of the personal security, liberty, health, dignity, and even the lives of individuals belonging to such groups. That is extremely broad, and these are the authorities on genocide, as the law came down, as it was written. Now, most of us think we know the definition of ethnic cleansing. We do not. Ethnic cleansing is simply rendering an area ethnically homogenous by using a force or intimidation to remove from a given area persons of another ethnic or religious group. In other words, if you put in place social engineering, and the social engineering has an intended consequence, we're going to wipe out the indigenous white rabbits of Europe. We're not going to do this conventionally. We're going to do this through social engineering by using our networks to break down the borders, and then we're going to flood it. We're going to keep them over large tracts of land and flood it. And let's say you put that in writing, and you can assume someone has. Now, by the time Chad in Iowa was calling for the death of his race, and many listeners have heard one of these crazy young white rabbits brainwashed calling for the death of his race, you know, down with the white race, and he's white. By the time that happens, well, you have to have a teacher that's convinced enough to teach it, which means you have to have textbooks out there to do it, to help. You have to have the colleges on board. It has to start with a sound. It has to start with a vibration. It has to start at a very, very high level. What the mantra has always told me, and anyone else that looks at it with any knowledge, is that someone has that on someone. And that at a very high level, it's been articulated that we got to get rid of these white rabbits. Of course, the problem is that they're still here. You know, we're still here. We're still having this conversation. Their new world order is dependent on white rabbit genocide. We're still here, which means they don't have their new world order. Yeah, if we're still here, they ain't got it. But that's a pretty bold move. You know, never in the history of the world has has one group tried to get rid of its own group. One group of elites tried to get rid of its own rabbits. It would be as if the chief of the Cherokees, the indigenous red rabbits of North America, the chief of the Cherokees stepped up 500 years ago and flooded Indian lands, flooded the Cherokee lands with non-Cherokees, and devised a plan to get rid of his own rabbits. It's very unnatural. Yeah, no time in the history of the world has someone attempted to genocide outright, to wipe out their own people totally. I mean, just to totally get rid of them. The Chinese emperors from time to time got rid of some Chinese, but they didn't try to get rid of all the Chinese. That's a very big, bold move. It takes a lot of energy to do something like that. It takes a lot of planning to try to do so in a very odd way, in a very perverted way, by all this trying to force miscegenation or trying to allow them to be raped, murdered, and killed in mass numbers, which they do all the time. Most people are just now waking up to it. Most white rabbits are waking up to it. I mean, they really don't care how many white kids die in Britain. That happens all the time. They don't care how many young girls get raped. It's a policy. It's a state policy. White rabbit genocide is a state-sanctioned policy. So much so that once it started, and it's going on for a couple decades, it takes a mind of its own. Why does it take a mind of its own? Because once you have a society that's demoralized, once you have a society that has that in its textbooks, after 15 to 20 years, you don't have to destroy the place. It'll do it for you. Yeah, that's why when in Great Britain, the United Kingdom, you get these kids that say, down with the white race, we want a blended humanity, in only white countries, by the way, they're saying that. Again, once the brainwashing is complete, once the process is going, you can't really turn it off. It takes 15 to 20 years of a new media just to neutralize that type. You need new textbooks to neutralize it. Or the internet. The internet has given people like me a big gift. But once the process is complete, it's going forward. The elites can't really turn it off that quickly. And they become very vulnerable if things don't go as planned. And things have not went as planned for them. But by and large, the mantra points all this out. By and large, the mantra points out an attempted genocide. It is a clearing call. It crystallizes. It puts people in our group that wouldn't normally be in our group. It sends out a message loud and clear. Revolutions happen for two particular reasons, and only two reasons. One, it's time for them to happen. Two, there's a group of highly trained revolutionaries that are pushing it along. The Berlin Wall wasn't brought down by accident. It was brought down by a consistent message over and over again. And once you have it, that's all it takes is repetition. I am often told, and it always makes me laugh and chuckle. The last time was from someone who was converted to more racial thinking, and he's a classic liberal. He's basically a liberal, maybe even an environmentalist. And he says, well, the mantra is kind of cliche. That will never work. And they always think it doesn't work because the masses are asses. And I asked them, when's the last time you ate out at a restaurant? Well, I ate out at Burger King the other day. Why'd you eat out at Burger King? You know, yeah, Burger King, because Burger King spends a lot of money advertising. The reason advertising works is the same reason people think advertising doesn't work. And the masses are asses. That's why this stuff does work. That's why they spend billions on it. They don't spend gazillions and zillions of dollars in a campaign putting out such cliched things as, oh yes, we can, like Obama put out. Yeah, President Obama's team put that out there, and it was like lightning. Big money stuff, putting out talking points, putting out a consistent message. Very important. The only thing bigger money would be some kind of image. We even have that. But a consistent message, it tells anyone looking what is going on, if they know what they're looking for. It tells the enemy, and this is very, very critical. It tells the enemy that they have a fight on their hands, and the fight is taking the next stage. There's a group of professionals now pushing it. And there are many different ways to push it. But the key to any closed society coming down is a consistent message. It has to be. It doesn't mean it's not already coming down, but that is the catalyst. That is the key. It's always there. At least it always has been thus far. But that's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a mantra. We're dealing with white rabbit genocide. And in this one, I'm going to do Bob's Stormfront, the best of Bob from Stormfront. And our enemy has many, many particular problems. The biggest one is the type of legal charges they could face. And there are many different avenues to go with that. But we stick to the basics. We stick to something simple. When we stick to something simple, we get big results quickly. Because everyone can do something simple. And in this particular podcast, I'm going to do the best of Bob as put together by Adelheim, and I'll put these up on my Twitter. In the Bible, there's a famous story about the Israelites. And the Israelites were given this particular horn, the horn of Jericho. And they were walking around the walls of Jericho and told to walk around the walls so many times and blow that horn. those walls came down. It's a biblical story. It's kind of an interesting story. But typically a closed society works just like that. And something like the mantra is basically a horn. It's a horn to be blown. It's a sound. It's a vibration. It starts ricocheting through the system. It starts clogging things up. It's pointing out the internal contradictions that sustains the closed society, and it points them out in a way that are unsustainable. An enemy is never, ever defeated until they realize they're defeated. Wars are not won under the way most people think wars are won. Wars are won when an enemy is convinced they are defeated, and only then. Wars are typically won by people that are outnumbered. And in a real war, of course, you got to do a lot of shooting. But we're not dealing steel on this show. We don't deal steel like cornmeal or talk about that. Our bullets are not in the conventional sense bullets. Our bullet is the mantra. Our weapon is the mantra. And what the mantra does is it points out an internal contradiction that is necessary to do in a closed society. And it points it out in a way that is unescapable. In a way that is very demoralizing for our enemy. Because there is no walking away from it. You're not arguing about race. You're pointing out the obvious that is this attempted genocide. And you're doing it time and time again. And I'm going to repeat that again. It's very important for you to understand. A war is won when an enemy realizes, is convinced that it is defeated. It has no other alternative. And I'm going to come back to this point again. But time and time again, in a closed society, we will see internal contradictions. And if you go to stormfront.org, Stormfront is the largest white rabbit website in the history of white rabbit websites. There's a lot of little white rabbits on there. And most of them are pointing, most of them don't use their own name. Very few of them do. They point under pseudonyms, acronyms, names, you know, deal and steal like cornmeal. They have all these different screen names, you know. And we post under there, under Follow the White Rabbit. Go figure. But our enemy is full of contradictions, the anti-whites. They will consistently say that the little stormfronters hide behind free speech in America. Now, all your life you've heard that. White nationalists hide behind free speech. And all your life you've seen something else, too. You've seen black rappers and black leaders in America call for the death of Europeans. It's very common. I think they get paid to do it, actually. They call for the death of white rabbits. Yeah, they call for the death of the white race. You can go on YouTube and see them all over America. Every time they've ever done that, what the media will say, what the same parties that say that the little white rabbits are hiding behind free speech on Stormfront, what they will say about that black leader, that black rabbit leader, that black rabbit rapper, they say, well, it's the First Amendment. So when the black rabbits say something about genociding our race, it's the First Amendment. When a little stormfronter, when some little white rabbit anywhere in the world gets on Stormfront under some fictional name and starts talking about this challenge of white rabbit genocide, well, they're hiding behind free speech. You see a contradiction. On one end is the First Amendment. It's the First Amendment to the anti-whites. Anyone that's anti-white gets the First Amendment. Gets this consideration of the First Amendment. Anyone that is trying to fight white rabbit genocide immediately gets thrown the bill of goods that we are hiding behind free speech. There's an internal contradiction. Maintaining this internal contradiction, sustaining it, is essential for a closed society. That becomes problematic when a consistent message just comes online. And in this podcast, I went into several different reasons why now. There's 50 plus podcasts full of information over and over again on why this stuff works. It works for the same reason most people think it doesn't work. We are susceptible to sound. A closed society cannot, in this particular instance, cannot hold up against its internal contradictions if it gets pointed out time and time again. And you need someone professional that knows how to do it. And old Bob Whitaker is one such professional. He got paid to do it at the highest levels on earth. So that's what we have going for us. And in this next little bit, I'm going to go over his statements. And of course, many of them, that if you looked him up on Stormfront, you're going to see him just posting the mantra. He'd give a little quick quirk, a little sound bite, and then quote the mantra. And that's what we're going to do, except I'm not going to actually quote the mantra. I'm going to say old Bob quotes the mantra. But we'll give you all his little quips, his little snippets, his little slicing and dicing of the pink rabbits. And we'll start this process. And in the end, I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk to you about how an enemy gets convinced that they've lost. It happens a variety of different ways, and one such way is happening in America right in front of our faces. And I'm going to try to point out the obvious to you. We'll start this process now. What Bob will always do is he will always talk about genocide. He will always do so with a mantra. Now, on Stormfront, this became somewhat comical because that's what he would do, is copy and paste it with a variety of different quips. And we're going to go through these quips. And after the quip, where he posts the mantra, I'll say, Bob, old Bob posts the mantra. Make it pretty simple. So let's start this process. Anti-white rabbit. So if I'm against an Asian who says that Negroes are inferior, am I being anti-white? Africa for everyone, Asia for everyone, white countries for everyone. Old Bob says, it doesn't matter if you also believe horses are purple. The point is that what you are pushing is this. And he quotes the mantra. Anti-white. That doesn't make any sense. I make a statement of all my beliefs saying that as many people of European ethnic backgrounds can immigrate to wherever they want, and you respond with what quotes from someone else. How did that contradict anything I said? Anti-racist is not a code word for anti-white. I am against racism in all its forms. I am against, say, a Japanese person or a Zulu or whatever being racist against European peoples. Old Bob says, this is how your anti-racism works on planet Earth, quotes the mantra. See, what he is doing is sticking out to a consistent message and continuously putting it in there. Our consistent message is genocide, and genocide is a one-way street. It's what they are actually doing. It's what they are guilty of. It's the crime. Anti-white rabbit. I don't believe so-called anti-racists are so much anti-white. I would more likely refer to them as deceived. Most of them have been indoctrinated by the mainstream politically correct press and media, and most have probably attended university, which has furthered their brainwashing. Old Bob. They are anti-white and proud of it. To white anti-whites, hating white people is a form of virtuous self-sacrifice. Remember that we are part of a tradition of both Puritan and monastic Catholicism. That has often gone overboard in the area of self-hatred. There is a fine line between acknowledging one's guilt and going into all-out self-hatred, and our established religion political correctness wipes that line out on the racial issues. The first building stone of our established religion today is total self-hatred. Any European professor saying the same things about blacks or orientals or above all Jews that European professors routinely say about whites, he would be in prison. Anti-whites are proud to be anti-white. And then he quotes the mantra. Anti-white. The most anti-racist people I've met are white. How can they be anti themselves? That correlation makes no sense. Old Bob. It's called treason, idiot. It happens all the time. You've never heard of self-hatred? Anti-white rabbit. That doesn't make any sense. I make a statement about my beliefs, saying that as many people of European ethnic backgrounds can immigrate to whatever, wherever they want, and you respond with quotes from someone else. How did that contradict anything I say? Anti-racist is not a code word for anti-white. I am against racism in all its forms. I'm against, say, a Japanese person or a Zulu person or whatever being racist against anyone. Old Bob, you are part of a program to end the existence specifically of the white race. That is its practical, real result. To say that it is not anti-white is like saying those who are supported slavery were just being objectively pro-property. And then old Bob quotes the mantra. Anti-white rabbit. However, one can't say that if one is anti-racist, one is anti-white. Pro-old Bob. Meanwhile, back on planet Earth. And then he quotes the mantra. Time and time again, he's using short, concise quips and basically quoting the mantra. If any of you have seen him back in the days when they were doing something very similar regarding communism, prior to the Berlin Wall coming down, they were doing simple things like that, pointing out the contradiction over and over again, in a variety of different ways. But by and large, anymore, the contradiction he's pointing out is this integration, assimilation, and all this immigration is for white countries, only for white countries. it's only in white children's homes. The so-called racism only exists in white children's homes, white children's churches, white children's schools, white children's countries, and only according to white leaders. It's genocide. And he points this out over and over again. And let's move on along. Now, some of these are in isolated different incidences. These aren't the last one I read is all isolated incidences, and I will put it up on my Twitter, and you can read it for yourself. And where you find it useful, you can use it. But he has a slightly different approach than yours truly, but it's the same thing. He's going to point out the internal contradictions over and over again, and that is what the system, a closed society, is dependent on maintaining these internal contradictions. If they can't maintain it, the whole thing collapses. When you start pointing it out, the whole thing collapses. That is how it has always worked. And by closed society, I mean a society that says it owns the truth. In this instance, it says it owns the truth in regards to race. And the fact that immigration, assimilation, and all this non-white rabid immigration is for white countries. All this multiculturalism, all this political correctness is only for white countries. It's rather fascinating contradiction that you aren't supposed to notice. All right, anti-white rabbit. Every man who says they've never thought of having sex with a colored woman is just plain old homosexual. You're a racist homosexual. You racist homosexuals disgust me. The big problem is that you racists are scared because now you are a minority. You can hate religion, that's your right, but just hating the color of someone's skin is so dumb. Oh, Bob, then why do you hate the color of our skin? This is entirely a matter of skin color, quotes the mantra. Yeah, most of the time they don't respond to this type of stuff. Anti-white rabbit, mainstream ones, yes. I'm an anti-racist and I hate all races, including the KKK, NAACP, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton. Oh, Bob, but you only seek to destroy one race, quotes the mantra. Anti-white rabbit, I don't believe this. I'm fine with as many Europeans immigrating outside of Europe and other European majority regions. I'm part South Asian in a country that originally had an Australian Aboriginal majority. So it would be hypocritical for me to deny this of other people of European descent. I'm also half white. Ah, old Bob. Meanwhile, back on planet Earth, quotes the mantra. You see, he's just doing the same thing over and over again. Anti-white rabbit, race doesn't exist. Oh, Bob, Alzheimer anti-white, a forensic pathologist must, to keep his job, testify that there is no such thing as race, and to be able to tell the race of a victim from a few scrapes or bones. If race does not exist, why then do you demand, quotes the mantra? And that is a classic closed society. Let me interject here. If you go to a local forensic pathologist at Scotland Yard, he's going to tell you what race you are. He's going to say, yeah, use a white rabbit. But then they're going to turn around and tell you race doesn't exist to keep their job. The problem is, under international law, there are no social constructs. International law doesn't recognize social engineering or social science. It recognizes real science. And the most real science known to man is genotype. And that's where you get the word genocide. That is the big problem. But that is a closed society. A closed society exists under this internal, contradiction. That there is such thing as race, but it doesn't actually exist in white countries. it's a flawed system, to say the least. Bob, in order to graduate a forensic specialist must spout the politically correct line that there is no such thing as race. But to keep his job, he must be able to tell the race of the most damaged victim of which he has only decayed scraps. In every country with established religion like today's political correctness, scientists were required to repeat the party line, but ignore it in serious business. Since anti-whites are tape recorders, they wouldn't understand that. They just repeat. They don't think about it. Ah, anti-white rabbit. Are we in 2008 or 1800? Oh, Bob, the answer to your question is that you are still in 1800, fighting the New England slave trade. Why I'm living in 2009, where the real situation is this, quotes the mantra. He is continuously quoting the mantra. Most of the people, the young ones on Stormfront, didn't fully understand what he's doing. He's going to point out the same thing over and over again. That's how you get a message out. You get it out by repeating it. Doesn't matter whether it's a Britney Spears song that you want to sell. It doesn't matter whether it's some your favorite country music. It doesn't matter whether it's a hit commercial. You got to play it over and over again. Let's carry on here. Anti-white rabbit. Where did I say that immigration to Liberia or Botswana is white? Would you be kind enough to point it out? No, I thought so. The point is that people move between countries, and not all movement is necessary into white nations, but I'm sure that the movement in Singapore, which is in top positions, is not white either, but Asian. Oh, old Bob. One more time for the Alzheimer anti-white. This is about race. I repeat, I never said a word about all immigration being into white countries. I repeat, Singapore could cut off all immigration tomorrow. No one would object. All white countries and only white countries are required by self-styled anti-whites like you to bring in other races in huge numbers. What's scary is this guy really can't see anything that hasn't been drilled into him. He really is a mommy professor tape recorder. So I will play my record back to him. Quotes the mantra. And once again, he's just copy and pasting in the mantra. Anti-white rabbit. Race mixing is just a result of conquest. Look at all the Italians, the Spanish, the Russians. Example, all those Latinos are part whites, every last one of them. You might call me a color race lover, but we whites brought it onto ourselves when we conquered these people and places. Is it bad? I like authenticity, but I would say it's up to a personal choice. Oh, Bob, all crime is a matter of personal choice. Quotes the mantra. You see, once again, he's coming back to genocide, time and time again. Let's carry on this. Let's go on to, from the Twitter, you're going to be looking at Adelheim, the mantra in action, question and answers part 3. Anti-white rabbit, no one can force you to accept diversity. Oh, Bob, then you describe the diversity we are forced to accept. I'm going to read that again to you. This is Bob Shorten to the point. Thank you. Anti-white rabbit, no one can force you to accept diversity. Old Bob, then you describe the diversity we are forced to accept. I don't even think this kid understand that. It probably took him a while to study that. Old Bob, the duh approach. So you've never heard anyone talk about a race problem. You never heard the white race condemned. You never heard anybody insist on open borders. You never heard anybody say the final solution to race is mixing the races, when they only mean mixing races in predominantly white countries. I am not even sure this comes up to the level of a good solid lie. It is certainly not a reply and is less than childish. Mommy professor will let you get away with this crap, but you're not with mommy professor here. Quotes the mantra. Anti-white rabbit. Hey now, we prefer to be called pro-humanity. Oh Bob, Stalin called himself a friend of humanity too. Quotes the mantra. Anti-white rabbit. Writes a long rant about something. They didn't even put it up here. Adelheim didn't even put it up. Oh Bob, you haven't read a word we've said, have you? If mommy professor didn't say it, you don't hear it. I used to be a professor myself. I just pointed out that whites who are anti-white are the most rabid of all. It makes you feel virtuous. Another thing you never notice is something I repeat, and you anti-whites complain I keep repeating it. But you never address it. Quotes the mantra. anti-white statement. Of course, anti-whites don't seem to understand that 60% of the Jews make up the student body of Georgetown or Harvard, and they are considered to be whites. Oh, I'm sorry, this is a statement from Stormfront, another pro-white rabbit statement. Of course, anti-whites don't seem to understand that 60% of Jews make up the student body of Georgetown or Harvard, and they are considered to be whites. Oh, Bob, Jews are whatever they choose to call themselves at the moment, minority, white, religion, nation. Anyone who contradicts them is a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. Quotes the mantra. I think that's pretty interesting discourse. Now, this is in the middle of Adelheim, the mantra in action, question and answers 3. And what you're getting is the quips from a professional, someone who's done this for a living, this type of thing, at a very high level. And what he develops is a consistent message of some type. And this consistent message is geared to end a closed society by pointing out its internal contradictions again and again. It happens off repetition. Anti-white rabbit. I'm not a racist, and I'm not a white nationalist. I don't hate white people, and I'm not against whites preserving their cultural identity. I'm white. What I'm against is this hatred that many white nationals have towards people of color. Oh, Bob, what you are is this, quotes the mantra. Anti-white rabbit. A long rant. I am an Asian, and I'm shocked at page 34 of Stormfront. Oh, Bob, this seems to begin with a complaint that we do not fully allow anti-whites to speak out here and ends with a demand that we be suppressed entirely. Anti-white rabbit. or pro, old Bob, anti-whites are always spouting about how massive immigration and assimilation demanded of all white countries and only white countries is just freedom. I'm really ticked off at my comrades for never telling you the truth about this. The same anti-white who spouts this libertarian nonsense knows very well that free speech does not apply to us. But I am still waiting for us to say so every time that this crap appears. They keep saying we can live in our own bunkers if we want to. Meanwhile, back on planet Earth, it is forbidden for us to do so. But no one points this out. As O'Reilly said, there should be no all-white anything in America. At least O'Reilly says it. That's more than my comrades do here, for all their diversity talk. The fact is that all-white areas are forbidden because people will move there. And we've talked about this on this show. If we had the freedom of choice, integration would be doomed in the long run. In the long term, this is the justification for our entire set of laws, the ones O'Reilly is all for and states so clearly. Why do my comrades let anti-whites get away with this freedom crap? You see, they consistently say, in somewhere like the United Kingdom, oh, that you have freedom of association. But that's not really true. That's not really true. As soon as you get some little white kid who's in a minority in London, actually in a minority in a city like London, who forms an all-European chess club at his local high school, he ends up in front of a racial tribunal. As soon as you get a police officer organization that in London, a London where an all-white a white police officer is in minority, basically, as soon as you get a white police officer who forms an all-white, all-European police officer association, they'll put you in court and you'll lose your job at some race tribunal. It's a contradiction. They consistently say, "Oh, we don't have a problem with whites freely associating," but when push comes to shove, if you try. You try to associate. If you try to have anything along those lines, you will lose everything you own. The kid that forms an all-white chess club will get kicked out of school in London. An Asian that does it, well, he's celebrating diversity. This is a contradiction. The mantra points out the contradiction in a very ruthless way on what it really is under international law, genocide. Let's go on here. Anti-white rabbit. I don't believe this. I'm fine with as many Europeans immigrating outside of Europe and other European majority groups. I'm part South Asian, in a country that originally had an Australian Aboriginal majority, so it would be hypocritical of me to deny this of other people of European descent. I'm also half white. Oh, Bob, all anti-whites claim that. But in the real world, quotes the mantra. And he quotes the mantra again. Now, I think Adelheim might have put this in somewhere else. A lot of times you get these anti-whites showing up on different threads, spouting the same nonsense. We've heard it for years. All you have to do is ask your local white nationalist that's been a white nationalist for more than 36 months. So I repeated it there because I'm just reading these. And you can copy and paste these. You can read them for yourself. Again, they will be up on my Twitter for your pleasure. Now we're into question and answers four. This is the mantra in action, Adelheim, anti-white rabbit. And there are non-whites that do not benefit from any programs or quotas, but just want an end to all kinds of discrimination and racism because it is wrong. Oh, Bob, you Alzheimer anti-whites, always pretend you never heard this, quotes the mantra. All he's doing is quoting the mantra. Anti-white rabbit. There are more whites in Africa than there are blacks in Europe. There are more whites in Asia than there are Asians in America. There are more whites in India than there are Indians in Scotland. Oh, Bob, if you select it this way, there are more Eskimos in America, too. But Europe and America will be a majority non-white by the middle of the century. And that is what you are for. As I said, your intent is genocide. What you call assimilation, quotes the mantra. As I said, your intent is genocide, or what you call assimilation, quotes the mantra. Then he quotes the mantra. Anti-white rabbit. Six-man race shows the value of diversity. Stormfront. Old Bob, let us assume the impossibility that instead of regurgitating the usual diversity poster, this guy could think. My point was that six-man all-black race was exactly what we would expect to see in a real championship race. Look at the photos in each case in this standard and packaged diversity photo poster the same way. Now, let me interject here. Apparently, there was some poster put up that Adelheim didn't put up in this piece. They're talking about some actual diversity propaganda poster. Imagine a country made up of, and he goes on to say, look at the photos in each case in the standard and packaged diversity poster the same way. Imagine a country made up of 90% of the people pictured in each case. In every case, the ones made up of of 90% whites would be where the brown ones would be, going to get a better life. And the real world is the same as the six-man race. It is easy to realize that the six black man race simply shows that blacks obviously do best. You and mommy, professor, can talk until you're blue in the face about it as an incident that the six black runners you see are an accident. But no one is going to do anything but laugh at you. Blacks win the race, mulattoes lose it. Get rid of the whites and the whole world looks like colored countries where people do not want to go. You do the standard diversity poster, and that is supposed to show the fact that white countries are all where brown ones want to go is somehow irrelevant because you are so loving. This is, speaking charitably, moronic. If that's a brainy spick, I'd hate to see a dumb one. I guess he was talking to a Mexican. I'm going to repeat this. You do the standard diversity poster that is supposed to show the fact that white countries are all where brown ones want to go is somehow irrelevant because you are so loving. What they were showing is some kind of diversity poster where a bunch of blacks were running a race, and those blacks basically ended up are in all white countries. You know, it's like in America, you have all these ball players, basketball, and some football players, especially basketball. Professional basketball, they make $100 million a year. You know, some of them make these ridiculous salaries. I don't know if any of them actually make $100 million a year, but they have these huge, ridiculous salaries. But no one points out that they don't have those salaries playing for African teams in Africa. They only have those salaries playing for non-African teams, playing for non-African owners in non-African countries. No one ever points that out. And you want to make $100 million playing professional basketball in Africa, you're up creek. You got to go to white country for that. But no one ever points this out. You know, anti-white rabbit. I would love for my son to marry this Panamanian girl, but if he wants to marry Colombian or American, what can I do about it? Oh, Bob, get real. The only right being suppressed here is the right of white people to have their own lands, and you know it. Well, Samantha. Statement, that is the nature of the liberal, the leftist, the anti-hypocrisy, contradiction, and yes, double standard, as you say, friend. Oh, Bob, the anti-white. They are comfortable with anti. Anti-white makes a point. Quotes the mantra. Anti-white rabbit. I'm researching the white nationalists and interested in finding out some answers to my questions. One, do you believe that we did an injustice to the American Indians after we became a country? Why or why not? Do you believe we have a financial obligation to American Indians or African Americans that were brought over during the slave trade? Do you think, number three, do you think the reason white nationalist groups are developing very quickly in this country? Why do you think is the reason the white nationalist groups are developing very quickly in this country? How do you feel about white people who do not agree with your point of view? Do you believe it is wrong to hurt someone when they do not agree with you or if they are part of a minority group? Thank you very much. I look forward to hearing from you. Oh, Bob, if each Indian tribe is paying reparations to the people they replace, whites might pay too. If Inuits are paying reparations to the Nordics they replaced, it may be okay. If blacks are paying reparations to the Hottentots they forced out and slaughtered all over Cape Hoyt Africa, maybe so. Do you know any real history at all? Let's go on. And then, of course, you know, he's going to end up quoting the mantra. Statement, Russia, Eastern European are unmistakably part of the European race, but they are not considered Western, ultimately. What does that mean? Oh, Bob. It is a corollary to what I said. Those who are obsessed with culture are enemies to our race. Interesting. Anti-white rabbit. I'm white. My dad's Austrian. My mom's American. She is mostly of English and French descent. I was born with blonde hair and blue eyes, but as the days went on, my hair turned brown. That is 100% the truth. There's no way of proving it unless I post a picture of myself, which I won't. So whatever. Call me a race traitor if you want. I don't care. Oh, Bob, you are, in short, a true traitor. I pointed out that whites have done nothing that non-whites would have not done had they had the power. You said that it was not proven. You are saying that whites are genetically evil and need to be done away with. That is not an intellectual position. That is a declaration of war and should be treated as such. That's interesting. That is not an intellectual position. That is a declaration of war and should be treated as such. Anti-white rabbit. You claim that every other race is more violent, but white people have done so much violence and killed so many people, it doesn't make any sense. Think about it. White people have caused destruction everywhere. North America, South America, Africa, Asia, Middle East. Is there any place you haven't wrecked? Oh, Bob. Whites have committed no evils other races would not have done had they had power. Slavery was everywhere. What was shameful was the whites would sink to it. Only white people ever felt ashamed of slavery or abolished it. Whites have committed no unique evils. We have done many, many unique good things. The device you're using now is one of them. He's talking about the internet. Now, let me interject here. One of the differences when someone does this, and they always do that, white rabbits deserve to be harmed simply because our ancestors supposedly did or did this. I always do the same thing over and over again. I point out the obvious. I do it a little bit different than Bob. But I do it in a way that the Europeans are now doing that listen to this show big time. I will say that, wait a minute, hold on here. You just said there's no attempt to genocide European children. Then why are you justifying it? You're implying that they deserve to be harmed. They deserve to be harmed because of something their ancestor did or did not do. You can't have it both ways. And then I'll point out the obvious. I'll say no one's flooding Turkey with non-Turks and saying, you know what, for four centuries you murdered, raped, killed, and enslaved the Slavs. And because you did that for four centuries, we're going to create a blended humanity in only Turkey. No one's flooding Saudi Arabia with non-Arabs and saying, you know what, centuries ago you destroyed the Persian Empire and genocided the elegant Zoroastrian priesthood. And because you did that, we're going to create a blended humanity in only Saudi Arabia. Only white children are affected by this. Only white countries are doing it. Because only white leaders support it. It's genocide. And I'll do this over and over again. It's very short. It's very simple. But they will consistently say whites deserve to be harmed because of something their ancestors did. Then they will turn around and say there's no genocide. They can't have it both ways. And second, they're only doing this to white children. Only white countries. And only white people are the white leaders are supporting this. You just point out the obvious. You repeat it over and over and over again. And that's what the mantra does. Now we're on the last section here. Adelheim, the mantra in action, question and answers, number 5. Some of my own answers. Anti-white. And this is some of Adelheim's, I guess. Anti-white rabbit. Wouldn't a melting pot under your logic be genocide of every race? So? Pro-white rabbit. Melting pot is only forced on white countries, all white countries, and only white countries. Are you one of those who support diversity, but do not support global diversity if diversity includes white people? Anti-white rabbit. Can you present an example of an anti-racist and show where you made that argument, where the anti-racists were anti-white? For white, you want me to show you examples of anti-racists who argue for immigration, integration, and intermarriage? He quotes the mantra. Anti-white rabbit. Are whites being forced to intermarry? No. Pro-white rabbit. You will be condemned for racism if you oppose intermarriage. In my country, you can go to jail for racism. The government protects the right to be anti-white, but tries to do away with the right to be pro-white. Again, what he's doing is pointing out an internal contradiction, and many times he'll then copy and paste the mantra. In fact, it takes up whole threads when you do that. But that is your job. Your job is repetition. It's just playing a good commercial over and over again. Why does it work? It works for the same reason you can't get that crazy country song, achy, breaky, hard, out of your head. It works because you can't escape a sound. You can't unhear something when someone says it, and it's very difficult to unread something. And most people will read it. They will read the whole thing. One of the benefits of having the mantra, and the mantra is a little on the long side, the full mantra, is they will actually read the whole thing. Sometimes you read these short quips by Bob, and the anti-whites will totally go through the short quip and not even realize what they're reading until they read the whole mantra underneath it. And that is one of the interesting things about it. Anti-white rabbit. How about if a certain people do not like the idea of racial mixing, they fuck off and die? Why do you not mention any other racial genocide? Why only white? Pro-white rabbit. I think that all races have a right to this. Diversity, do you remember? Why are you all of a sudden so hostile to white survival? Anti-white rabbit. I will issue the challenge. I issue every time I see this crop up here. Please provide a scientifically valid definition of race. Or in other words, prove to me it is a concept that actually maps into something real and significant and imperial objective reality. Pro-white rabbit. If somebody wanted a world with just white rabbit, would you say that would be okay because you could not find a scientifically valid definition of race? I would oppose that. I think that all races have a right to survive, including my race. Aren't you people supposed to be in favor of diversity? Isn't that a strength? I guess you do not think so when diversity includes white people. See why I think you are anti-white. Anti-white rabbit. I would think a large gene pool would be ideal for genetic traits of future generations, not purposefully maintaining a tiny one, essentially racial inbreeding. Pro-white rabbit. You always come up with new ideals, and those new ideals never include white people. See why I think anti-racists are just anti-white? Anti-white rabbit. Stop obsessing over your skin color. Pro-white rabbit. Would you be in favor of an all-white world because skin color does not matter? Diversity? Question. I think that all races have a right to exist, including my race. Why do you keep justifying genocide by saying it's just skin color? And many times, Adelheim is quoting the mantra and just staying on message. It's pretty funny. Only the indigenous white rabbits of Europe have this. You will not see this in Japan. You will not see a Chinese stormfront, an African stormfront. Only white rabbits have to have a stormfront, and only white rabbits will be on stormfront, arguing for the scientific valid definition of race. And only a white rabbit would have to actually justify their own existence to a white rabbit. I mean, you will not see this anywhere else. That alone should tell you how real race is. Race is so real that only white rabbits do it. And a stormfront exists only in white countries. And only white rabbits will sit there and argue that they're just a social construct. No one else will argue that they're a social construct. Only white rabbits will do it. The indigenous white rabbits of Europe are unique in that regard. We will argue that we're a social construct. No one else will do that. No one else is crazy enough. You won't see the Japanese have a Japanese stormfront. They won't need a stormfront where little Japanese have to justify that they're not a social construct. You will never, ever see a Japanese, some anti-Japanese say, I will issue the challenge I issue every time I see this crop up here. Please provide a scientific valid definition of race. Or in other words, prove to me this is a concept to actually map something into real and significant and imperial objective reality. That alone should tell you how real race is. Only white rabbits would be crazy enough to sit on something like Stormfront and argue that race is just a social construct. And only white rabbits would have to have something like Stormfront where they can defend themselves against this type of insane genocidal assault. It is quite entertaining if it weren't so serious. But no one stops to think about only white rabbits do this. You know, none of the anti-white rabbits will ever sit down and think about, we are the only race that has to have a stormfront. That's it. We are the only race you will see arguing that they're a social construct. No one else will do that. No one else is crazy enough. No African is crazy enough to say, you know, Africans are just a social construct. Only white rabbits do that. That's how real race is. And we'll continue this conversation. I'll go in with some other input I have here. But that is the end of Old Bob Does Stormfront. And we'll be back with you here. To defeat an enemy, you must first convince the enemy that they are defeated. We've had an interesting experience that goes back with Bob Whitaker on Stormfront. He went over to Stormfront after some speech he gave in Louisiana, found out about Stormfront, learned how to get online, and got over there and started applying his trade. And since that time, even back before then really, our enemy has always been silent. When the mantra came out, they've always been silent. That is the strategy. That's the only strategy you employ. A consistent message creates a problem. The problem usually gets a reaction. But the reaction, the textbook reaction to this type of thing is do nothing. Say nothing. Don't give it publicity. Maybe it'll go away. And that clearly hasn't been the case. But what has happened is what's been shocking is that this silent treatment, which is what it is, silent treatment, it's a song of silence, has now encompassed major portions of elements of the white nationalist media. It's definitely encompasses whiterabbitradio.net. It has from day one. But in America now, right now, we have more racialist candidates running for office. And when I say office, sometimes it may be for dog catcher or local city council or Congress or even the Dr. Dukes going around the country talking about running for president in 2012. Typically, these type of events, another one that comes to mind is Tom Metzger running for Congress, which he had some success in winning the nomination. I think it was for the Democratic Party out in California. But anyways, a lot of different characters have thrown their hat into the ring to run for office. And in some places in America, it's quite easy. In some places in America, it's nearly impossible. But some have thrown their heads in the ring, and it's nearly impossible to find out about them for one particular reason. The media is silent. Yeah, our traditional way to find out about what's going on now in the White Rabbit community is simply to go to the SPLC website or even the Anti-Defamation League, and it is just silent. Total silence. They're writing about the Minuteman. They're writing about racism of Glenn Beck. But even the political cesspool, they used to write a lot more about the political cesspool. The political cesspool is a lot bigger. Radio organization, conservative radio organization, it's the largest right now. It's as big right now as it has been in its history. 2-3 years ago, as a proportion of its audience, they were writing about the political cesspool a lot more than they are now. 2 years ago, they were writing a lot more about the political cesspool than they are now. They're not mentioning them a whole lot. They're sitting silent. It's one big silent treatment, and we've seen this start encompassing. There's new radio networks, relatively new, Voice of Reason Radio. They have some pretty interesting radio programs. They are most certainly white nationalists, or at least conservative and white. The Tom Sunniks are on there, and they have some great shows, but they have not really been mentioned anywhere. And they most certainly are successful in their ratings, in the rankings when it comes to the online. No one's getting mentioned anymore. It is just a silent treatment. Is this the typical type of thing they do? Yes. 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 You're not gonna invite someone in, to sit them down to talk about genocide. It's not the way it works. They want to talk about black crime statistics or something like that. But when you have a message out like that, that is basically accusing them of attempted genocide, it's an accusation under international law. The last thing in the world you want to sit around and talk about it, especially if you're guilty. Yeah, the first thing they would be concerned about, the little pink rabbits, and I've went into this before, is are we guilty? And then what's our exposure? You know, Chernobyl. Well, why would we want to talk about it? Well, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. So what do? We keep on a consistent message. Because you're in a closed system that acts like a closed system in physics. And sound can change everything. There's more racism being talked about on TV in somewhere like Norway than any time in the history of Norway. Well, that's because you brought in a race problem. In America, certainly there's been a race other races from African to the Indians who got wiped out. But in America, on Fox News, every day there's race. Now, granted, they're not saying anything. It's a staged and canned conversation, but it can't go away. I've been asked, is that how a consistent message works? It just pushes everything to the top. And yes, but I mean, I don't know what effect this has had on their discussion. It's time for this to start this type of close society with the new media and whatnot, and I went over all this before in this podcast. It's time for it to start failing, and that's what you're witnessing in. That's what we are currently witnessing. They try to go out of their way, especially in Washington, to create this wonderful illusion, this false illusion, that the situation is under control, that they can keep this race thing under control. The situation is not under control. The situation is disgustingly out of control. They cannot dominate the energy flow. And the last thing you want to do is enter a one-way street, and that's what the mantra brings about. It's a one-way street. You know, it talks about white rabbit genocide. It invokes the iron question. And you don't want white rabbits to start questioning the race policies in so much that they're questioning, is this genocide against me? Because it is. That's one of the challenges here. But we will keep doing our thing, and our thing is to bang the drum at the red hippopotamus. That's what a sound does, make this beast move. And they have agreed to some war with Iran, or they're going to war with Iran, and that, of course, changes a lot of things. You know, it could get helter-skelter on this planet here for a while. And that could be at any time. You've got Ahmadinejad coming over here to speak. But we'll do our job until the end. But that is the silent treatment. Everyone's getting the silent treatment. You don't want to start inviting people on TV. The only TV station that is actually in the past year and a half, 2 years that I thought would come through for white nationalists or for anyone white, period, is the RT news site. It's Russia. It's Russia's news site. It's a pretty somewhat fair and balanced compared to what we're used to in the States. It's Russia Today, I believe is what it's called. You can go to RT.com, and they did the interview with the young representative Obama. I can't think of his name now. I want to say it's Mr. Yeoman, and he did a pretty good job. But they are somewhat fair. And of course, he mentioned that the film Machete, and it was why they were glorifying genocide against Europeans. The more you say genocide, the better off it is. Genocide, 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 genocide. That's fantastic. He should have said it a million times. He should have done the mantra. But then again, he was on talk about a movie. I'm protesting a movie. So he pointed out the obvious. They're glorifying genocide against Europeans. But they're the only ones that really, I thought, would go overboard to maybe be fair. And they may continue to do that because a lot of people are interested in what we have to say. But our enemy, for the time being, isn't. Our enemy isn't talking about anyone running for office. Why? Because it makes it difficult. All it does is make them spend more money to defeat a candidate. So you might as well just stick quiet at it. Keep quiet. Also, if you give them exposure, well, there's a consistent message out there. You don't know who's going to be on it. It creates a problem. Running for office right now in America creates a lot of problems. The reaction, of course, is they do nothing, which is interesting. It's interesting. We live in interesting times. And it should be, it'll keep getting more interesting as this consistent message starts ricocheting all through the system. You know, and we will keep doing our job. But old Bob gets ignored for the same reason I guess I get ignored. For the same reason you're being ignored. For the same reason anyone white who's running for office who sits around as you're white gets ignored. And the only ones that didn't seem to be doing anything fair, it seems to be the Russians, once again, seem to be somewhat fair. I know they interviewed the Council of Conservative, I think it's a conservative, CFCC, it's the Council of Concerned Citizens or something. It's a conservative group that the James Edwards from the political cesspool belong to. I believe that RT or Russia Today interviewed them as well. But by and large, it's a silent treatment. It's total silence. It's the sound of silence, which is kind of interesting because our enemy tends to like to talk. They like to engage. But no one's really getting engaged at all unless you go out of your way to do something crazy. But as far as from the practical politics perspective, as from the perspective of engaging, like they normally want to do, it's pretty much silence. That's silence. They want to have these canned debates on TV, but everything, it's not really working. The situation just keeps kind of getting more and more out of control. As the world is, the financial systems are all becoming more and more unstable. And this is what we would expect at these times on the calendar. But we'll keep doing our part. And old Bob will keep writing his pontificating on Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. And we will keep banging the drum. And that drum's a mantra at this beast to get it to do whatever it's going to do. But this is another episode of Horus Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. And I hope you enjoyed this episode, a throwback to old Bob Whitaker. Thank you for listening. We are now at the end of another episode of Horus the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. And this podcast is, of course, all as always, dedicated to practical politics. But I'd like to take this time to thank you for tuning in to another episode. On behalf of the Indigenous White Rabbits of Europe, it is yours truly, Horus the Avenger. And I'll be back with you in another episode in the near future. Until then, thank you for listening.